Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that buys its jokes wholesale. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we look ahead at the summer movie season, the latest from Foo Fighters get to listen, and Donald Trump investigates Shane's birth for no other reason than to be a dick.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. We are back. It is episode 107. That's a 1-0 and a 7. 107 of The Scope. Your favorite podcast rolls on, Jared. It is your favorite podcast. Is it not?
I don't know.
Not up there?
There's a lot of other shows I like quite a bit more.
Yeah.
If we're being honest,
I don't know if I've actually gone back and listened to an episode of what we've done in quite some time.
It has been a while.
Not that I wouldn't enjoy it, because a lot of times I do, but it doesn't come up.
Sometimes it's good to do a quality check, but at the same time, we did live through it.
Yeah. We don't need to experience it again. You know, it's funny when I do that, you know, I'll like maybe forget a joke in my head that happened during the show.
Yeah.
And then as we're listening to it, I'm thinking, man, that'd be really funny if I said this. And then all of a sudden, then I say it right there.
It's like
a weird deja vu.
Well, I guess if this, you relive the circumstances, then the same jokes will come up.
Yeah, I would say that exactly how I said it right on the show.
Funny.
Very bizarre. Well, it's been a stressful week for all of us, Jared. We've been very busy. You know, I've had some friend issues this week.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if I want to get into it.
Well, I mean, you don't have to.
But I think I'm going to.
Oh.
I think I'm going to.
Okay.
As you guys can tell, I had a friend call me up and say, you know, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And as you can hear by you and me talking right now, there's only two of us here. It was Adam.
Ooh,
Adam is out of the...
I didn't think we were going to get into this, but all right.
Adam is out of my life forever. Actually, Adam is, speaking of worst you ever, he is on an Easter break.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, every year he does this. I almost want to call him up now and find out what's going on with him, but I'll just let him be, let him look for his Easter eggs and eat his hollow chocolate bunnies that he often does.
Yes.
Do at this time of the year.
And like things on Hype Machine.
That's all he does. He loves that Hype Machine. But I actually have a true story that happened to me yesterday, and I thought I would share it. You know, Jared and I, being best of friends, it's very, very difficult to keep every intimate detail of our lives away from each other. But this is one that I'm going to spring on him.
Oh. Uh-oh.
So yesterday, I had the day off. It was, I know that the show is posted and whatever, but yesterday was Good Friday.
This was Good Friday,
yes. And so Jared had to work his hiney off while I was off.
I was struggling with PHP and time zones, but I think I've got that motherfucker licked.
This whole week for me at work, I've been struggling with coding. That's for Jared would be like taking candy from a baby, but I do my best.
Well, that depends on the coding. You're talking CSS, and I do know CSS pretty well.
He's great. He lives it. He knows it. But needless to say, that has nothing to do with my story. So yesterday was Good Friday. I had the day off, and as I may have talked about on the show before, my days off are never days off. I'm always doing something.
Is this by design? Do you like this, or is this more of a honeydew situation?
Carrie never gives me anything to do. I've always
you've already got a base level of guilt that just continues to move you
absolutely
forward.
I've got a Shaney do list that's constantly out there.
You're a list guy.
I am. I'm a huge list guy. I like to get stuff done, and yesterday was no exception. So here in Minneapolis, if you are lucky enough to live in the county that Jared and I inhabit, they have a countywide recycling place. So you can bring tons of things. So if you're not sure what to do with your old light bulbs or cans of paint or electronics, whatever.
Right down the sink, right?
Yeah. You pour it right down the mercury. Let's just kill them damn fishies.
Just shove that old speaker right down the sink.
It's amazing what they actually take.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's great. I wish every county would do that.
For free, by the way.
For free.
I mean, they say they impose yearly limits on things, but it's like, you know, 5 DVD players per year.
Yes.
Like, really?
Okay. Yeah, and you may have to pay if you want to drop off appliances, large appliances.
Yep.
You know, like a microwave might be $15, a refrigerator might be $50, but I think that's perfectly fair to do.
Sure.
To do that. So I sort of got it in my head that I was going to get rid of some large scale stuff in
all
our house.
All the appliances cleared out.
Carrie and I cannot cook food anymore. It's nothing but we'll just heat our food up by the power of the sun, which is not
That's very a very Earth Day of you. It that's a very good timing on you.
For the record, it would take 42 years to cook an egg. In the way the rate we're going here in,
yeah,
in Minneapolis.
The flavors that are imbued with slow cooking, Shane.
Slow cooking.
It is. That will be the best egg you ever had.
Just it melts in your mouth.
And it will also be the last egg you've ever had, yeah, because you will probably die afterward because you'll be old.
Exactly.
The egg won't kill you. Age will.
Age will. So in our house, you know, we've got things and that obviously we got things we can get rid of.
Sure.
And, you know,
iPad right out the door.
Gone. I had enough of it. I don't get it. Buyer's remorse. Let's just recycle this son of a bitch.
Sounds about right.
And I wonder what they would do if I came in with an iPad too.
They would say,
I'm done with this. Thank you, sir.
And then they would probably fight each other over
exactly.
to take home.
You just watch the battle right in the middle of the recycling center.
That's something a rich person would do.
I know.
Just for fun.
Mr. Howell. Yeah. Thurston Howell III would do that. So, kind of going through my house, I have a few things that I need to get rid of. And we've pretty much had since we moved in. Offhand, I think it was 7 years ago we moved into the house, maybe a little bit longer than that. But at the time, I recall saying to Carrie, you know, we've got all this space. Maybe I need to get like a weight bench or something like that. I need something where I can work out and really, you know, get these muscles pumping.
Yeah.
And I think that...
How'd that work out for you?
Well, just...
All right.
Hold your britches. You know, we'll get to it. My brother-in-law heard this and he's like, I've got this old weight bench and some weights and, you know, you guys can... I can take it off my hands for me and you can use them. And so, you know, I don't even think I ever saw them until they were brought over to my house, but... They were really old. The weight bench was really old. The weights were, you know, like big metal plates, kind of rusty. And I wasn't intrigued. By the time we got our house unpacked and everything put into its proper place, we found we probably didn't have as much space as we thought we would. And so what happened was the weight set kind of went in the back of our basement. We have like a well room, which... For people that don't understand, every house in Richfield had a well at one point.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I've seen this weight bench.
Yeah, you've probably never seen it. And the weight's just sort of off in the back weight bench, just taking up space.
Shane, if you look over my left shoulder, you can see my well room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exposed and used for storage.
Yes, usually underneath the stairway.
Yep.
For years, I didn't really know what to do with this thing. I didn't lift weights. I just sort of sat there. And I made some calls and found out that my recycling center takes scrap metal for the most part, or any kind of metal, really. So I decided yesterday my task was going to be to disassemble the weight bench and load the weight bench along with the, probably 200 pounds of weights into the back of my car and drag it down there and have them take it out.
Wow.
So you can imagine, you know, Mr. Shane, Mr. Tools, Mr. Handyman,
yep,
Mr. Home Improvement, trying to rip this weight bench apart, and I had to go out into the garage five or six times to find the right tools, the ratchet sets, and
I think maybe if you had been using the weight bench on a regular basis, this would be less of an issue.
Yes, or I could have torn it apart with my hands.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Screws, who cares?
Exactly.
Rip it apart. So it took me about an hour to get this thing ripped up, and then, you know, the most workout I ever got with the weight bench was actually taking the weights from the basement up into the trunk of my car.
Yep.
So I got this thing all loaded up, made my way out to the recycling center, which for us is a hop, skip, and a jump away. Very, very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there.
Right off a major freeway.
Yep, off a major freeway. Get there. They signal me to go into the... It's like a big garage, pretty much.
You drive into it with your car full of stuff.
Yep, you drive in, they kitch off in an area, and then you pop your trunk, and you just kind of tell them what you want them to take out. And there was nobody there, so literally all these big, strong, you know, burly guys, you know, young kids, probably 20, you know, they're lifting a lot of stuff. And then, like, their supervisor, who is built like a cinder block, you know, he's probably an inch taller than me, but, you know, has a good 75 pounds on me, and I don't know if he's overweight or muscular or what he is.
Musculature.
What was that?
Apparently a copy thing I was doing is complete.
Nice. I thought you were very excited about muscular. So I pop the trunk and I tell them, you know, just take all the metal out of there. And the big burly guy looks in the trunk, looks at me, and he goes, so you think you've got enough working out done, do you? you got enough use out of that thing. You're all done with that, huh? I'm like, yeah, I think so. And he goes, well, good for you. You know, a good muscular guy like yourself, you know when you've, reach your potential and you're done with that. And the guy sat and busted my balls for about 10 minutes as they were hauling all this stuff out of there.
Nice.
And, you know, I looked at him said, you know, I guess I deserve this, sir, and sheepishly jumped into the car after they were done and drove away. So now I kind of feel like I should go out and buy a real weight set and find a place just so I can lift.
Don't do it.
Lift, get all muscular, and then go back and show this guy up that, yes, this skinny little rod of a man can get healthy and be a superstar like him.
Nice. I'm going to put you on pause for a second here.
All right.
Okay, we're back. So just a brief explanation. There has been an occasional buzz in the show recently, and the source has been identified, and it was triggered just now, and so I had to put it on pause to go disable that source of the buzz.
This is something that happens in the business. I mean, Ryan Seacrest deals with it in his radio show. I'm sure Stern does, and Adam
right.
Carolla. Loveline.
I'll do stuff out of their homes.
Exactly.
Well, Carolla does, but...
Yes.
Anyway, back to your story. You were lifting weights or getting rid of weights.
I think I'm done. I'm getting rid of weights, and along with getting rid of my weights, I got rid of my humanity and my self-respect. But at least I don't have this giant weight bench in the back part of the room taking up all this space and rusting. So that's good, right?
Yeah, that's very good.
Will you be making any trips to the recycling center anytime soon, Jared?
I do have a bunch of stuff I need to get rid of. I don't have a specific trip planned, but...
It's nice to do that. I really like that. I like I said, I wish that other communities would have something like that.
There will be a project coming up in the next...
Ooh.
Well, I'm going to target it for May, which is just getting rid of old paperwork and junk in my back storage room because Angie needs storage space for some of her stuff. So currently, our rock band space is filled with stuff that she has had to be removed from her parents' house because they're selling the house. So I need to get rid of a bunch of my junk so she has room to store her junk.
Maybe she should get rid of some of her junk, too.
She's only been keeping the choice stuff. There's a lot of stuff she's left behind that's going to get pitched from there. So in effect, she's already paring it down. And I just recently got a killer deal on a paper shredder.
Mm.
So I have all my old documents and crap that I don't need will be, you know, duly shredded and disposed of. And old crap will be tossed out and electronics recycled.
I've spent... Seriously, shredding old papers, like weeks working on that stuff with our paper shredder. At some point, it's a massive undertaking, but you feel good once you get it done.
Yeah, I've put it off a lot just because I had my only shredder was like a little tiny like it'll take like one sheet of paper trifold, and that's all. This is like an envelope slot, wide slot. It's not very big at all.
Oh, that's nothing.
No, so I'm like, I need a better shredder, and then I just got a killer deal from Newegg, $20.
Wow,
7 sheet cross cut.
Oh, I wish I would have known about that.
Sorry, dude.
Thanks for telling me.
You got to be a regular customer, I guess, to get the special email.
I guess so. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Speaking of Angie and Rock Band, is she going to have a birthday party sometime in June?
Has not been discussed yet.
I think you need to have a June party, Jared.
Okay. Her birthday's in July,
though. I know, but it's closer to convergence, right? So
true.
If you go early, you could just make maybe it a big event.
I think we would have to do that anyway, just because I know that every week in July is pretty much just booked up at this point.
There we go.
Her,
so let's lock that down.
Right on. All right.
All right. So there we go. We're discussing party plans and crash shredding, the best Scope episode ever.
You have more stuff to talk about, though, don't you?
No, I don't really have a lot to talk about. I mean, I think I'm good with where I'm at.
All right.
Anything from you before we dig into the meats of the show?
Just been spending a lot of time preparing for our trip to PangoCon.
Yes.
Kind of dreading the, what I call 26 hours of driving with a convention stuck in the middle of it as a break.
Yeah, so you are leaving next weekend?
We're leaving Friday morning at like 5 a.m.
And you're coming back Sunday?
I'm back Sunday. Leave afternoon from Troy, Michigan, and we'll get back in the wee hours of Monday morning.
So and you have Monday off then?
I have Monday off.
Oh, thank you for abandoning me again.
Sorry. I'll have Thursday, Friday off next week, too.
Oh, my
so.
God, people. Why is he sabotaging my friendship?
You took Friday off.
Yeah, jeez.
Do you have Monday off,
Am
too?
I not? Is this something I don't know? You know, is the world out to get me? Is that what we're talking about here?
No. So we've been rehearsing twice a week, getting ready for that. So I think we'll be okay.
Yes. It's an acoustical set.
It's acoustical. And
is that a real world word, acoustical?
It is, but I don't know that you're using it properly.
Wouldn't be the first time, my friend. Would not be the first time.
So we're trying to put together about a 45-minute set, and it's a little challenging. You know, it's weird going down to just two people.
Yeah, you are not going with John or Jeff or Jorge.
No, they can't make it.
Your roadie,
John doesn't like to travel, and Jeff, it's his wife, my sister's birthday that weekend. So,
we can see where his priorities are.
It'll be a two piece, and it's a little. I mean, it's fun and it's interesting. I don't want to say negative thing.
So what you're saying is you hate PenguinCon.
No.
PenguinCon, you never want to play it again.
PenguinCon is a con I've wanted to go to for years, and now I'm excited to be able to go and perform there and just also be able to experience a convention. I'm excited for that.
PenguinCon is kind of like Citizen Kane, My Citizen Kane. It's a movie I've wanted to see for years, but I just haven't done it. So maybe I'll watch that.
You've never
that
seen Citizen Kane?
Never seen it.
Wow.
Maybe I need to watch that movie the weekend.
What you need to do is take a film studies class where they force you to watch it.
That would be awesome. And then I would hate it.
What I was getting to is that it's interesting performing as a duo with Nathan, because, you know, he's been in the band for a couple years now, but, you know, I only knew him sort of on a surface level prior to that. So there isn't this rich history. So it's you're kind of discovering how you guys are going to interact and play off each other. So that's kind of fun. It's different. It's very different than working with John when we were doing Possible Oscar as a duo with John.
Yes.
Because he and I had known each other in the Nick Adams, and we kind of, you know, sort of had a little bit of a rhythm together. But so it's different, but interesting, and hopefully the audience appreciates it.
And there'll be any sort of sexual tension between the two of you? I mean, you're together so long.
Not between the two of us, but probably between Nathan and the rest of the audience.
Oh, my
goodness.
Because
that is the vibe he gives out.
He loves his sexualness, doesn't he?
He likes to play around with it just for fun.
He loves his acousticalness.
Yes. It's funny, is he actually not really playing acoustic, because he's playing his regular electric bass.
I love it.
Whatever.
Is there such a thing as an acoustic bass?
There is.
I mean, besides like a stand-up bass?
Yeah. No, it looks like a regular acoustic guitar.
Oh, okay.
You know, with a longer neck. No, it exists.
I didn't know that.
You see them out at the Renaissance fairs, and also if you watched Nirvana Unplugged in New York, Chris Novoselic was playing an acoustic bass.
And that won't be the first time that man is referenced today.
Good to know.
Very interesting. Well, Jared, I'm excited. I think that our entire audience is on the edge of their seats to find out, you know, how exciting this con was, and you know, give us your exact record sales.
I'll come back with
a
full report in the next episode, probably.
Will you buy any sort of T-shirt announcing that you are at PenguinCon?
I don't really do the T-shirt thing.
Yeah. You don't like to tell people where you've been.
No,
it's good enough in your brain. I'm the same way.
People don't need to know anything about
that's me. Why we're besties.
So other than that, I've been wrestling with coding projects at work. That's been kind of a struggle, but I left it at a very good point on Friday, and I'm ready to tackle it again come Monday.
Because all of our audience wants to know, why don't you tell us exactly what the problem was and what solutions you employed to fix them?
We're going
to
skip that. Had something to do with NFL and the Academy Awards.
And not to mention the hatred of Republicans. You put that in there as well.
No.
Just kidding.
PHP and time zones are fun to play with.
Very good. Very good. Well, Jared, I'm glad you're keeping busy. I know you've got a busy weekend coming up.
And I have a three-day week.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I have a concert Monday night, too.
You are doing it all, man. You are doing it all. You're living the rock star life. What can I say?
I guess.
I am not. But I tell you, I will live the rock star life for the rest of this episode, because we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Sweet.
Is this our fifth annual or sixth annual summer movie preview?
I think it's our fifth.
We've been doing it a long time.
Something. I don't even know.
It's very exciting. It's going to be a two-person show here with a little bit of spiritual guidance from our good friend Adam, so that ought to be a lot of fun.
Spiritual guidance.
Don't you worry about it.
All right, I'm curious how this plays out.
We've also got a review of the latest album from Foo Fighters, not the Foo Fighters. I know we have reviewed this band in the past, and one other time
their
at
last
least.
Album, I think.
And I'm excited.
That shows how long we've been around.
I know.
Because it's been like 3 or 4 years since their last album.
I'm excited to hear what Jared has to say about this album. I'm excited to tell you about it. It's big. It's a big thing, Jared. We've also got news this time around being read by Jared, and we've got coming soon.
Prepare your ear holes for my reading.
We've got all sorts of things. This is going to be fun. You know, it's a two-person show that changes the whole vibe, and with Adam not being here, it can only be great.
It can only be great.
So, everybody, we've got 107 coming at you right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is Prince Everhard of the Netherlands. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show. Summer's here, and the time is right for the highly anticipated but never duplicated Scope Summer Preview. We'll fill you in on all the must-sees and must-avoids of this very important season. The Scope Summer Preview.
Thank you so much, Tony Partington. Man, he reads that like he read it perfectly 5 years ago. I mean, it's so he's so consistent in his delivery. Tony, you can leave the studio now.
Oh, yeah. We don't need you.
We don't need you. Yes, indeed. It is the 2011 summer movie season. It is right on us. I don't know if we've always been good about getting to it this early. I mean, we're in April, and I would consider the summer movie season starting May 1st or whenever that first week in May hits. So I'm very excited about that. Unfortunately, Adam could not be here with us, so Jared and I will be doing the heavy lifting on this one. But there's a lot to talk about. I think that this is going to be an intriguing summer movie season, Jared. So let me put this out there. Just in general, are you excited about this year? Do you think there's something special about this year?
As every year that goes by, I would like to see more films this year than I did last year.
I think we are going to. I think that's going to be something we are going to
do. We should try to get back on that bandwagon where we used to just get up Saturday morning and go to a movie. That always seemed to work out well.
Tell my wife to forget it. You could stay home. I'm going to see movies.
Fair enough.
If we go out to a different movie theater, Jared, we probably could drop my kid off at my folks, and then we could go out in Egan, and then we could go to the Egan Theater out there.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Something to consider.
Sorry, Scope listeners. We're just planning out how our logistics of our movie season.
Look, you guys have told us you like it when we talk about our personal stuff.
Exactly.
So we're going to do that. All of our plans for future events will be worked out on the air with you guys.
Yeah. And we'll put a calendar up, some sort of Microsoft.
Exciting. You can see the back and forth, the give and take, the compromise, and the wrathful vengeance that goes on when we discuss events.
Of course. Absolutely. But in all seriousness, Jared, I think that this could be, at least on paper, one of the best summer movie seasons we've had in a long time, maybe even in the time we've done the Scope. I think there's a lot of quality stuff out there.
Shane, with all the tent poles, we're going to need a bigger tent, am I right?
Yeah, we're rim shot. Wow. Just let that one fade.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot to be excited about. I mean, we've got a lot of offerings from heavy hitters. I mean, if you go down the list, we've got a Harry Potter film. We've got a ton of superhero type films.
We do.
We've got things from like Tom Hanks. We've got things from J.J. Abrams. We've got returning comedies. I think that there is something for everyone. Pretty much every week of the summer. I mean, there's
like 18 movies coming out every week.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, we do certainly have our fair share of sequels, and we talk about that every year. Oh my god, it's we give them the sequel countdown. There's 8 sequels or whatever. But I think
are there as many this year?
I don't think there is, and I think that there's I mean, I guess if you throw sequels and reboots, reimaginings or whatever you want to call them, and there's probably a decent chunk, but I also feel like there's a lot of new properties that are hitting.
Okay.
Or a lot of films that we haven't seen, 20 different versions of that should be pretty darn exciting.
Let's dig into it.
So my first point is every year we talk about it being the year of the comic book, and that started, boy, back in the Spider-Man days. But even in those days, there may have been one or two at the most comic-related movies. This year, it's a different story.
It's huge.
We've got a bunch. We've got Thor. We've got Green Lantern. We've got X-Men First Class. We've got Cowboys and Aliens, which is based on a comic book property. We've got Captain America. I think this is the year where it lives up to the hype. I think these are all big budget. All these movies are expected to do well. They're not half-assing it. And at least two of them, you've got Captain America and you've got Thor, that tie into the bigger Marvel movie universe, setting up for next year's Avengers.
Right.
So what do you think, Jared? Are all of these comic movies things you want to see?
They're all things I will see. I want to see I don't know.
That's bad.
That's a great thought.
I don't know. Let's go through the list. Let's talk about Thor first.
Thor, I'm excited for.
Thor,
I think it looks cool. I'm excited to see what Kenneth Branagh does with the film.
This is an intriguing film because initially a lot of questionable buzz on this film. People were thinking, okay, it looks goofy. The first trailer or the first scenes that we saw from it, what is this? This is just, a fallen alien. I mean, he's not an alien. He's a god. But, a misunderstood guy who was sort of a jerk. Redemption, he comes back to save the human race kind of thing. you know, very, very cliched and pat.
I think even going back before we even saw any clips of it, we're like, really, Thor?
Yeah.
Is that the best available comic character to start a new film around? It's like, eh. But I think once we got the idea that this wasn't setting up the Avengers, it's like,
yeah, he has,
okay,
to, he has to be there.
This makes a little more sense.
And now the movie comes out in just a couple weeks. First reviews have hit. Extremely positive, much more positive than I ever imagined this film was going to be.
Yeah.
And that's got me excited. It's got me excited, and I think that you know, Marvel's had a pretty good track record with their films, and hopefully this continues in that trend.
I wish they could get all of their properties under one umbrella, yeah, so they could cross-pollinate.
Wouldn't it be great if you could have Wolverine in a Avengers movie or something like that?
Yeah. You have the of course, you have all these expensive actors playing these roles,
yeah,
and it's really tough to get them to...
Yeah. Someday, I think something like that might happen. Let's move on to the next,
yes,
next film. So we've got DC entering the fray,
yeah,
with a non-Superman Batman film,
yeah,
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Here's another movie that, you know, the first footage that hit with Ryan Reynolds, it seemed sort of goofy, like Ryan Reynolds is going to play that, you know, sort of that charming goofball guy and just wrap it around the Green Lantern. A lot of people were
snarky,
yeah,
making smart-ass,
yeah, yeah,
comments.
Yeah. They were concerned about his costume looking a little goofy, maybe a little too organic. But the first real trailer comes out, and hey, this movie might have some possibilities. You know, Green Lantern, it's not, you know, they really embrace one of the core concepts of Green Lantern, which is this intergalactic peacekeeping force.
Sure.
And the movie seems like there's going to be a lot of outer spaceness, a,
yeah,
lot of stuff that is key to the comic book concept. And, you know, all of a sudden Green Lantern's looking like it may be something that could be a hit. What say you, Jared?
I'm not buying it.
Jared's not buying it.
I'm not.
You think it's
I'm
all
not,
spin?
I'm not. I mean, it could be a decent film, but I'm not a Green Lantern fan. The whole kind of cosmic nature of it doesn't interest me as much.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the film, but I don't know. I'm not buying into the hype. No. I'm not super excited for it.
I'm sort of buying into it a little bit, but I have a feeling that once this film actually starts getting press and real reviews, I think that it's going to flip back to the way it was.
I think the jokiness of the character, yeah, is a little bit off-putting, yeah, and
I don't
like the costume. Sorry,
I don't think that he is that jokey in the comic book.
No,
and
he's not.
The other thing that I have to ask you is, why does DC refuse to embrace the whole nature of all of these superheroes living together in one universe like Marvel has taken on? And I think it's been, you know, it's sort of exciting. I mean, you know that there's this world of possibility out there, this interaction. DC doesn't have DC Warner Brothers doesn't have that problem of their properties,
yeah,
being in 20
exactly
different places. They're all under one roof. They've always been under one roof, but they just don't connect the dots. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's definitely an opportunity wasted. They have this whole, I mean, they have some of the most iconic comic book characters in Superman and Batman. Their history goes back a lot farther than Marvel does, but they can't seem to get it together. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think you know, we've talked about this before. DC heroes are almost larger than life. They're all godlike in many ways. You know, your Supermans, your Aquamans, your Wonder Womans. You know, how do you write these characters in a way that connects to us on a human emotional level?
Well,
and
you,
I think
what you do is you take them into an ultra realistic way, like they did with Batman. The problem is you can't pull a Batman as we currently know him in film and bring him into a Green Lantern world. It just will,
yeah,
not mesh.
I mean, Batman would be killed.
Well, yeah, and this, as far as I can tell, that world that they've created in those films does not support aliens and cosmic powers and,
yeah,
shit like that.
So I think that is something they're going to struggle with. Maybe they might have some superheroes cross over into others, but you know, if you have these such divergent casts and powered creatures and beings, you're right. They just may not be able to pull that all together.
I think they painted themselves into a corner with Batman. As good as those films,
yep,
are with Christopher Nolan at the helm, you know, the character has been changed to a point where he can't exist in the rest of the DC universe,
yeah,
anymore.
I mean, it's almost like you'd have to, once Nolan is done with it, you almost have to reboot it.
Yeah.
And then start over. And then bring it in. Maybe that's what they'll do. Who knows? I think that they need a visionary, like Marvel has had with, God, I can't even remember, but they've sort of constructed a team that really embraces that, and they've slowly brought in characters like, You know, you have now you have Thor, who is a god among men.
Yeah.
You know, you can have aliens, and if they can pull it off, you know, the possibilities are really endless for what they can do.
Sure.
They just need to get Spider-Man and X-Men back into the mix. And speaking of X-Men,
yes,
we have an X-Men prequel, X-Men First Class, which takes the X-Men back to the 60s, back to their roots, a young Xavier, a young Magneto.
Yep.
What do you think about this one, Jared? This is a risky proposition.
You know, I wasn't really sure what to think about this until like the trailer started hitting.
Yeah.
And then I got excited. I think some of the trailer stuff looks really good.
It could be a very interesting film.
I'm very intrigued by this film, and I'm very excited for it. Honestly, I like X-Men, and if we can get a good solid X-Men film with, you know, hey, you can hate on Bryan Singer and a Superman, but he did good things for the X-Men franchise, and it shows because the third film wasn't as good when he wasn't involved because he went off to do Superman, and now he's back as producer or whatever.
Yeah,
on this one, and you know, hey, it's got a good cast, it's got a good director, and hey,
it's
I'm excited.
It's interesting because, you know, them taking it back 50 years, you know, allows them to move freely in that universe. But at the same time, you know, you have to remember that the X-Men started, you know, Cyclops has always been the leader. But in this world, obviously, he's not there. And so they really are playing a lot more fast and loose with the cast, the team. The core team. And that's always bugged me a little bit about it. They don't really do that in like the Avengers and, you know, Captain America and Thor and Iron Man. I feel like they're a little bit truer to the concept. So
there's always been a precedent in the comics, though, for changing the team up, though. So
And we'll have to see how it goes. But I'm with you. I think that this might be a step in the right direction by stepping back and then, you know, almost rebooting, but not really. And in a way, I kind of wish that maybe they just take it out of the X-Men universe that they've already created, start over, and then you can do what you want to do. I mean, they're doing it with Spider-Man. Is it either next year or the year after that? So
so
why not to do it with the X-Men as well? X-Men is the team that I wish, by the way, would so be in the Marvel universe, you know, more than Fantastic
Absolutely.
Four. There's so many possibilities with, you know, the mutant racism card and just how does one sort of team merge with another? You know, Avengers loved by America, X-Men hated. I think there's a lot of stuff that you can do there. So who knows? Maybe they can bring those worlds together and make some interesting films.
Yeah, it's always tough when you're making films though, with these kind of budgets and trying to do something that the largest percentage of people are going to enjoy.
Yep.
So when you start getting a little niche and getting into teams teaming up and it's like, I can see why they would not get to that point.
Yeah, you're probably right there. So what else do we have? We have Cowboys and Aliens, which is a Jon Favreau. We've got Harrison Ford. We've got James Bond in a period piece that merges two of the most beloved concepts of the movies of the 50s and 60s. You've got Cowboys.
Yep.
You've got Aliens.
You do.
And how would people in the Old West deal with an alien invasion, I think is essentially what this movie is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be a winner, and Jon Favreau, really, if you look at his track record for directing, has he had many dogs? I don't think he has.
No, he's done pretty well for himself.
So I think that he will handle this property well. Let's hope that he can coach a little bit more of emotion out of Harrison Ford, who tends to act like a big wooden pole in his last like 4 or 5 movies. And I'm excited about this one.
This is, and I'm going to spoil my list a little bit later on, but this is my number one looked forward to film of the summer.
Wow, look at that.
I am so excited for this. I love modern Westerns, and I love sci-fi, so putting those two together and not treating it in a campy way is, I mean, that's like chocolate and peanut butter, baby.
I'm going to film you with my iPhone camera through the entire movie. Just to see what your face is.
I'm as excited for this film as a lot of people were for Tron Legacy last year.
Jeez, that? Well, that's big, you know, and I think that you're probably going to get a better movie out of this, too. The final comic book thing we can talk about would be Captain America. Now, this movie is actually one that I think the hype has been high pretty consistently, you know, since some of the first screens captures or, you know, movie set shots have hit the interweb. You've got a Captain America that looks like Captain America. You've got a Red Skull as a main bad guy who is very faithful to the look of the comic book.
Yeah, played by a genius at playing villains, Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's some arguments like, are they going to deal with the Nazi issues? And this is another movie that's a period piece. It takes place in the 40s, I believe. So,
yep. World War II.
World War II time. I mean, it's you're sort of establishing the origin of Captain America, who is the first real hero. Or at least that's how we assume it will be.
He's the first Avenger, Shane.
And he, that's the name of the movie. There you go. So he fights a lot of Nazis. Will Nazis be in this movie? Will it be present? I don't know.
I think the way that they're setting it up, at least from what I've read, is that Red Skull is head of this Hydra organization, which actually breaks away from the Nazis because they, for whatever reason. So I think that's their way of getting around it.
Gotcha.
Is you might get a little bit of the Nazis at the beginning if they're going to even show Hydra breaking away and show their motivations or whatever. But... So it's sort of Nazis without actually being with Nazis.
And I got to say to our good friend Earl, I'm sorry, but you probably will not see Captain America punching Hitler in the face. As much as you would like to, it probably is not going to happen.
Yeah.
God bless America. We love it. But, you know, sometimes you have to make creative decisions. I'm excited about Captain America.
Hitler is not the villain in the film. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably for the best, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited for this too. I think the trailer that we've seen recently looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that Marvel movies, if they can... you know, get past some of the heaviness that we had in Iron Man 2, which I don't think was a completely successful movie. I think they can get back to that, the core fundamental values of, you know, excitement and seeing cool new stuff and treating the characters honestly and treating them closely, a little bit more close to the spirit of in which they were written for the page. I think that they'll do quite well. Universal
Indeed.
Things.
Indeed.
So let's move on to another interesting thing. We've got a third movie in the franchise coming out, and it has been the source of a lot of stress, a lot of consternation, a lot of battling in the scope. Of course, I'm talking about Transformers. We've got Transformers, what is it called? The Dark Side of the Moon or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's a Pink Floyd reference.
So let me ask you this, Jared. will we subject ourselves to another Transformers film?
If we do,
why don't we learn our lesson?
I think we have to.
Yeah, I think
at this point, we've gone this far in the journey, and I think we need to see what happens.
Yeah, it's got this film has got Leonard Nimoy. It's got, you know... They always talk, you know, I think even the second one, Michael Bay said he's going to take it more seriously, you know, it's going to be, you know, less comedy, but at the same, but we saw it, there was more comedy, there was more racist robots than there was before. Is Michael Bay going to change this and make it a little bit more straight ahead, less goofy, or is it going to be more of the same?
It's curious because he's come out and pretty much said, a lot of people have come out and said that the second film was not good.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It makes me really, really intrigued on if part three really is going to have a different tone and might be have a tighter story or a story at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the first film had at least somewhat of a story, and I don't think was a terrible film. Granted, I have not actually seen it since we saw it that one time.
And we hated it.
I didn't hate it as much as everyone, but two was utter garbage.
Yeah. That's
was
I'm
definitely
about, yeah.
a step back. And so for them to actually acknowledge that that is the case and to hopefully correct that path with three, I'm curious about.
What they need to do for three is pretty simple. I mean, they need to get away from the pattern of having human beings running for their lives from the robots all the time.
Yes.
And then the robots that they're running for, which should be the star of the show, are either uninteresting, racist, stupid, or just plain not cool to look at. I think,
yeah.
I gotta be honest, I think the robot designs are not good.
They're not good, but I think the core of the problem is that you said the robots should be the main characters, and they should be characters. They're not characters, they're caricatures.
Loose brush-stroked robots. Yeah,
Optimus Prime is the altruistic leader, and there's no depth to him. None of the characters have any depth to him. Now, you could argue that the cartoon was that way, sure, but I think you need to up your game in the movie.
Yeah, you need to. You don't need to duplicate what was in the cartoon. You need to enhance it, find out what was successful in the cartoon, and make that the centerpiece of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know, but they still insist on making, you know, the humans the stars. So.
Yeah, well, which is fine, but then you need to give the humans something to do.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be scared that they're going to be blasted to bits. They need to be a presence in the movie.
Well, I'm scared to be blasted to bits, so I think I relate to that.
Well, and you know, I think that that's something that even the current comic book now sort of has dealt with by, you know, giving the human army people, you know, like weapons and the ability to work with the good guys. You know, they're an equal member of the team rather than, you know, we don't
understand.
We don't understand you. We're a damsel in distress. That's exactly it. Yeah. So let's hope that this movie does pay off, and I think we're going to have to see it free at Earl's Theater.
I think we should.
All right. Next thing, speed round, Jared.
Speed round.
I'm going to name a movie. We'll give it a quick one-sentence take. Our quick one-sentence take.
Wow.
Are we ready?
Yes.
All right. We'll start with Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, the fourth movie in the series. Go ahead.
I'm hoping a fresh storyline breathes new life into the franchise, Shane. Yeah.
I'm happy that we've got the elimination of some of the more boring characters in the film, and I'm hoping that Johnny Depp can be the star, and that the film isn't 4 hours long like every other one.
I think you're stretching the limits of a sentence, but good job.
And. I connect him with and.
Yes.
Cars 2, the Pixar film. I'll start with this.
Yep.
I don't think that there's ever been a Pixar movie that I've been less excited to see than Cars 2. That's all I have to say.
I would say the sequel to the weakest Pixar film looks to stretch the premise a bit too thinly.
Nice. Look at Jared. Actually wrote stuff out. I love it. Yes. I sent this list to him like 12:30 in the morning this morning. He's an amazing dude.
Yeah.
Number 3, The Beaver. This is the Mel Gibson comeback film with Jodie Foster. They play a married couple in which I think he has a nervous breakdown and learns to communicate with his family and friends and coworkers through a beaver puppet.
Yes, apparently he went method with it. put simply, I have no interest in supporting Mel Gibson's career at this point. Simple as that.
I concur. Thank you very much. As good as it may be. Number 4 movie on our list, The Smurfs. Oh boy, where do I even start?
How do you do one sentence on
why
this
do you why would you do this movie, and if you do it, why would you set it in present day New York City? Makes no sense to me at all.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jared.
This could be the worst fish out of water application ever.
Exactly. The next movie in one of the most poorly named films of all time, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Jared.
Does anyone actually care about this franchise anymore?
Mm-hmm.
That's my sentence.
There's your sentence. I will say, while I did not care about it, I have to say that the trailer featuring the special effect of all the apes does look pretty damn cool. I don't know if you've seen it, but
I have. Yes.
I thought it was very impressive technology.
I would agree. The apes look impressive.
And can I just say that, you know, James Franco seems like a great dude, but I don't get it. I don't get the James Franco thing. I mean, maybe he's great in other movies, but every movie I've seen him in, he seems to play the same guy.
He was really good in Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was good in 127 Hours, which I have not seen, but the Academy apparently took notice. Yeah.
I thought he was the weakest link in the Spider-Man movies, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, sure. Sure.
I didn't get it.
He was passably funny in Your Highness.
Yeah, so, okay.
I don't know.
And Jared admits to seeing Your Highness. Number 6.
Yes.
The Hangover Part 2, Jared. We've got a sequel. We've got a sequel.
We do.
And my take on this is a sequel to a overrated movie, .. I hope they can make it kick-ass and funny the second time around.
All right.
Go ahead.
Three simple words. No Justin Bartha? I guess he didn't make the cut.
Who's Justin Bartha?
He was the guy who was getting married in the last film.
Oh, I thought he was in this film.
No.
Wow, I guess
Well, at least I haven't seen him in any of the trailers or any of the photos.
I got to think like he gets kidnapped again or something, huh?
I think they're there. No, I don't think so. Wow. I have no idea. I just know he's been conspicuously absent from any of the promotional stuff. So if he's in it, I apologize for not doing my research, but I have not had any indication that he's in the film.
Let me ask you this. Do you want to see this film?
Sure.
I mean, it's comedies are kind of conspicuously absent from our list. This may be one of the few comedies I see this year.
I mean, we've talked about this. You're right. It's an overrated film. I don't understand why everyone responded to it so well. Maybe they just had great, great memories of those photos in the closing credits, because that is the best part of the film by far.
And even the Mike Tyson thing was sort of weak in there. It didn't play as funny as I would have hoped it would have.
It played funnier in the trailer.
Yeah. I think that other movies like Superbad were way funnier.
Absolutely.
But Knocked Up, much funnier.
Absolutely.
Movie. So there you go. And then finally on our list, Super 8. This is the... initially, people thought it might be like a found footage type of film as a la Cloverfield, but this is not anything like that. It is the new J.J. Abrams movie that looks to be a cross between E.T. and Godzilla. I don't know what it is, but what do you say, Jared?
I'll say see anything with Kyle Chandler.
Yeah, you just took the words right out of my mouth. One of the best actors on TV gets a plum role in a movie that could be very, very good. I cannot wait to see this film. And speaking of movies we can't wait to see, Jared and I have concocted a list of our top three most anticipated films of the summer. I'll let Jared start this off.
Well, I already teased this one in the earlier question in this segment, so I will just say Cowboys and Aliens is my number one looked forward to film of the summer season. Are we going to alternate, or are we going to go right down the list?
I don't have like a number one through three. I just have three picks, so why don't you just go through your list?
Second on my list, we just talked about it in the lightning round or whatever. It is Super 8.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm excited for the sci-fi nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
It takes place in the 70s.
So looks good. Cool.
And finally, I actually wasn't quite sure what to put on this. I had actually Harry Potter on there for a bit, and I thought, you know what? No. I'm actually looking forward to X-Men First Class quite a bit.
Wow.
Those are my top three I'm looking forward to.
Well, we'll give my picks next, and then Adam was nice enough to send his in, so we'll read those.
Okay.
My picks actually have a lot of overlap with you. My first would be, not my first, but the first movie I'll talk about is Super 8. I think that movie could be the winner of the season. Who knows?
As box office or
popular acclaim. Okay. I'm also looking
for a high 80s on Metacritic.
Yes, I'm also looking at Cowboys and Aliens. I think that Jon Favreau, as we've said, has not disappointed recently too much, I guess, with the exception of Iron Man 2. But the guy knows how to put together a film, and I'm pretty excited about it. And the other movie I'm looking forward to is a superhero film. I think that Captain America is going to be a good movie. I really hope it does.
Wrong one.
Jared, not happy.
Sorry to wrap
Captain
up the
America.
List with a double bell.
You know, we've talked about it. It's hard to do this preview without doing some overlap, so I apologize. Let's move over to Adam's picks. He's got three of them, slightly different than what we've talked about, with the exception of his first pick, Super 8. So this is the Super 8 might get the Scope seal of approval. I think we're all very excited about this
definitely,
one.
Definitely, definitely.
He did mention Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, the film that wraps up the Harry Potter saga. Almost made Jared's list.
Almost made my list, except that I haven't seen the first part yet, so it's hard for me to anticipate the second part without having seen the first part.
I think I'm four Harry Potter films behind right now, which is a bit disappointing. And then finally, Adam saw the movie, he's very excited about the movie, Friends with Benefits. It's got Emma Stone in it. It's, who else is in that?
I don't get Emma Stone, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a little confused, but... Adam has high hopes for this. He saw it at a sneak preview, and he cannot say anything about it, but he's got high hopes for it.
Is Emma Stone in that one?
He said briefly. She's briefly in it.
Because that one, this is the one with Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
Yeah,
isn't
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake did a good job in.
He's got two movies coming out this summer.
Social Network. The guy can act. He's funny.
No, but he's in this one. He's also in Bad Teacher with his ex-flame.
Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
So let's move over to the three worst-looking films.
Okay.
And I'll just continue with Adam.
Yeah, get Adam out of the way.
Adam picked number one, The Smurfs. We've talked about it. He's not intrigued by this film at all.
I think this one might show up a couple times, but all right, go ahead.
He picked Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Apparently, he does not care about this franchise. And then he picked Zookeeper. That is the Kevin James film. He said, Kevin James is fat. That's funny. That's his comment. And he also
interesting.
And he also has a special list, the Emma Stone movie list. Crazy Stupid Love, Emma Stone is in this, so it will be good. And The Help, Emma Stone is in this, so it will be good. So apparently he likes Emma Stone.
He must be an Emma Stone fan.
So Jared, I will give you my three worst looking films.
Maybe I need to see Easy A to understand the Amazon. Emma Stone thing.
Yes, I haven't seen that. I hear it's quite good. My list also includes The Smurfs. I love Neil Patrick Harris, but boy, this movie just seems like a pooper. I picked Spy Kids 4, All the Time in the World, because I think three Spy Kids were plenty.
But Shane, this one has Jessica Alba.
Yeah, as she's playing a mom, so that's where she's at right there.
Because she is a mom.
Yeah, I know, but she's over. And then finally, I'm picking Mr. Popper's Penguins. That is the Jim Carrey penguin movie, which I think the comedy timings and stylings of Jim Carrey are passe. Sorry, hate to say it. And he looks weird. His face looks weird nowadays.
Yeah.
What about you, Jared?
Got some overlap with you guys. I also went with The Smurfs. Granted, this film isn't for us, but we grew up having watched The Smurfs, and this just seems so like the wrong approach to it.
Smurfs weren't great as a cartoon if you go back and watch it now, but man, you got to keep it in this weird medieval, foresty thing.
I think you could do a passable CGI Smurfs film If you kept it in the same environment that
why
the
couldn't
cartoon.
You? It seems silly that you wouldn't do
it just
that.
It seems so dumb that it's in New York.
It's all budget, Jared.
Makes no sense. Anyway, I will also echo Mr. Adams' sentiment with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Jared buzzing it.
I don't know. Just
what if this movie got a good review? Would you see it then?
I would still see it. I'm just saying it looks bad right now.
Okay.
And this one might be a shocker, but I'm going to say Green Lantern.
Jared,
on
hating
the worst
Green Lantern.
Looking films. I'm not feeling it. I don't think it looks like it's going to be a winner. I will see it. And hopefully I will enjoy it, but as we stand with the recording of the show, not on board.
Wow. Jared against Green Lantern. I think you might be onto something.
I just think visually it looks crappy. I don't know. And it's so overly CGI. I don't know how else you do it, but yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So finally, we've got one last little category before we move on to the C block of the show. It's a category I'm calling your dark horse film. And I don't really have a meaning behind it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is a movie that maybe could be very critically acclaimed and you know, doesn't do well, or a movie that comes out of nowhere to kick some ass. But
it's kind of open to interpretation.
It's open interpretation. So the film that I picked on this, it's a movie that's been sort of talked about a long time. It's the movie Tree of Life. And that's the new Brad Pitt film. It's
what's his name?
Terrence Malick directed it. You know, this guy has done some weird shit. He's done some cool films as well, but this movie has really been shrouded in mystery, and it sort of tells the tale of the life of a young man growing up, and I've heard and read about things with dinosaur scenes in it and just all sorts of crap. So I feel like this movie could just be fascinating, or it could be a giant train wreck. But it's on my radar, is what I'm telling you, Jared. On me radar. What about you?
I don't know. The Thin Red Line was a bit of a mixed bag for me, so I'm not sure how I feel about
toughie.
Terrence Malick films.
That was a toughie.
I actually ended up with two because I couldn't quite decide. First one, a comedy. I like the cast and I kind of like the premise, so I'm going with Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Boss. Tell us about
that film. Three pals have horrible bosses and decide that they'd be better off if they were dead.
Oh my goodness, that
is
dark.
And you've got people like Jason Sudeikis, Jason Bateman.
Everyone named Jason.
Kevin Spacey.
Jason Schwartzman.
Kevin Spacey's one of the bosses. And Jennifer Aniston, apparently, I've heard some good buzz on her boss playing role. So.
Is she sporting the Rachel haircut?
I have no idea. No idea. And the second one, I didn't actually know about until I read the Entertainment Weekly summer preview, but I'm very intrigued by the concept, so I'm going to pick it as a dark horse. A film called Another Earth.
Another Earth. Tell us about
apparently,
that.
Apparently, it had some buzz at Sundance, and it's a future story. They discover another Earth out there. And I'm going to imagine, well, let's see if I can find any more about it.
Yeah, read us the Entertainment Weekly.
Let's see. Yeah, they find another planet, and I guess they're going to, try to get there. And there's the main character is about a woman who accidentally kills someone while driving drunk, and I imagine she wants to probably escape to the other Earth. I don't know.
Interesting.
Sounds intriguing. I like
sounds
that
like,
stuff.
Sounds like Fringe.
It sounds like I like Earth, like Earth ending type films.
I love
where,
Earth too, Jared. I'm a huge fan.
I like films where the Earth is in peril or something, or it's not done in a big Armageddon style, but in a smaller, like Sunshine. I don't know if you ever saw Sunshine.
Never saw it. I want to see it.
Love that movie. It's cool.
You and your Netflix.
So Another Earth is on my radar as a possible dark horse.
I love it, Jared. I love that you've dug deep into the listing of summer movies, and you're going to make it happen. And we're pledging right here that we're going to do our best to see all of these summer movies that we've talked about. Every single one.
There's still some spring movies I want to get out and see, like Super.
Jared, there's summer movies from last year that I probably want to see. So,
yeah. You got to give up on those and at some point watch them. But
fresh
you're not going to find them in theaters, though, Shane.
Fresh start is what you're telling me. And our first goal is to see Thor and review it on our next show.
Yep. We can do that.
I think we can do that. And we'll probably have to see the movie and then record the episode that's right after it. So we're going to be on top of things.
That's fine.
That's what I think. So there you go. 2011 summer movie preview done.
Yeah.
Very excited.
We did it, Shane.
Let's do it. So let's take a break. Let's get some music in, and then we'll be back with more of your Scope program.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
So I finally did what most alternative music listeners should do, and I subscribed to the current song of the day, and this is one of the songs on there. It's from The Lonely Forest.
Oh, in time the trees die and light will fade, but I hope for a new breath, a new life to take me away. Oh, in time the trees die and light will fade.
Under the Scope.
Yes, indeed, Under the Scope is back. It's a three-part segment usually handled by three people, but today it's handled by two.
How do we start, though, Shane?
We always start with the news. Adam not here to confuse us with his ignorance.
Shane, I'm here to hold down the Scope news desk. Right,
this is exciting. Jared,
yeah!
Jared does not read the news very often.
That happens every once in a while.
So when he does, it is always an event. And it's going to be about Green Lantern, would be my guess.
Shane, our first story on the list here. 2011 iPad shipments forecast cut to 40 million as Apple faces the mother of all backlogs.
Only 40 million.
Apple struggles to meet demand for the iPad 2 in the second quarter of fiscal 2011, were allegedly due to production problems and quality concerns with components, including LCD panels and speakers. That has prompted one research firm to cut its 2011 sales forecast by 4 million units to 39.7 million.
That's a humongous cut.
Oh, my goodness, Shane. How will they deal with less money?
I don't care. You know what I'm doing? I'm rubbing my iPad 2 right now. I'm rubbing it.
Last October, iSupply had increased its forecast for 2011 iPad shipments to 43.7 million units. That change came after Apple announced sales of 4.19 million iPads in its September quarter.
Would you like?
How can you have a September quarter? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's by definition, a quarter is 1/4 of a year.
By the way, that number was seen as disappointing by some on Wall Street.
Oh,
this is what I don't like about Wall Street forecasts: is like if you don't meet their crazy demands, then your stock drops.
Yeah, and Apple has always been a victim of tremendous ups and downs on the stock market. There's such a high expectation for a company like that, and even when they were in terrible shape, they still were at the whims of Wall Street. It was crazy. They've always been in that position.
Yeah. So the iPad 2 resulted in crushing demand, and again, Wall Street became optimistic about sales. But during the company's quarterly earnings conference call on Wednesday, Apple Chief Operating Officer Tim Cook referred to struggles to keep up with demand for the iPad 2 as the mother of all backlogs.
I know you don't look. Have you seen the iPad 2 in stores?
Sure.
Yeah, it's there.
I mean,
it's around.
Oh, I mean, oh, it actually looked for.
Yeah. Have you ever seen it? Like, if you, yeah, hey, did I wonder if they have any stock?
Never really looked. I guess.
I think I've seen them one time.
Yeah. So let's see. Specifically, iSupply cited supply chain sources who indicated that Apple had quality concerns with LCD panels, production shortages of the new speaker found in the iPad 2, and lamination issues with one of its touch panel suppliers.
My folks want an iPad 2 really bad. My dad's like, oh, you can get an iPad 1 for $100 cheaper. Dad, you don't get old. You don't get old technology.
If you could get one for like half price,
yeah,
it might be worth it.
I've heard that there's a substantial difference between how fast the one and two.
Oh, sure.
I mean, so you got to go with the newest, don't you? I mean, you always buy the best technology you can because it's going to become obsolete. So
yeah,
you got to push forward, not back.
I agree.
Jared, are you still interested in an iPad 2?
Absolutely, but my priority is to get a new primary machine first.
God, I can't wait to get a new machine, and this podcast will be half as long. It'll be so...
we'll be able to record twice as fast. No, that's not going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Story number two, Shane. New Jersey transit worker fired for burning Quran near Ground Zero will get his job back.
Oh, my goodness. This is an interesting one.
Dateline Trenton, New Jersey. The New Jersey Transit employee fired for burning pages of the Quran at the site of a proposed Islamic center near Ground Zero will get his job back, according to the settlement obtained by the Star-Ledger.
Adam never reads with an accent.
I don't know why I had to put it.
It's very, very old-timey right there.
Derek Fenton, who sparked a national firestorm of condemnation from Governor Chris Christie. Guy has two first names. I don't get it. Or Chris and his both names. I don't like it. Governor Chris Christie, during his protest on the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, will be reassigned to his 86,100... a year job and get a $25,000 for pain and suffering.
Wow.
The settlement dated today, which was April 22nd, Friday, also says he will get back pay equal to $331.20 for every day since his firing.
Wow. So what do you think about this, Jared? Do you think that where does free speech end? Where does it begin? I mean, it's fair, right? I mean, the guy has to get his job back.
I would think so. I don't agree with burning pages of the Quran.
No.
Because all it does is piss off people who would want to be pissed at us.
It's a dipshit move.
All it does is get people killed in Afghanistan. Dumbass fucking Terry Jones and his stupid mock trial bullshit in Florida.
Oh, my God. I know. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else I need to read about that.
Yeah.
I agree he should get his job back, but, yeah.
Doesn't mean we got to like it.
It's still a dick move to do that.
You know? And I'm sure he would get just as upset if somebody burned the Bible. That's the irony of it all. My religion is better than yours.
Yep.
Suck it.
Final story of the day, Shane. Young men.
We're moving.
Young men watch 2 hours of porn online each week.
That's it?
And 1 in 3 have missed a deadline because of it.
Let me ask you a serious question, yes. Jared. Have you ever watched 2 hours of porn in 1 week online? Tell the truth.
Online? No. That seems like a lot of porn.
That seems like a lot. Especially, you know, back in the day, you know, you'd watch a video cassette or something like that. You know, you have to fast forward, rewind. There's a lot of technical aspects to it. Yeah. Nowadays online, you get right to the money shot every single time.
Why, you know? Why 2 hours? You either, wow, that's a lot of volume.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say that I don't think I've ever watched 2 hours of porn a week online. Trust me, if you knew me, I don't need 2 hours.
Well, Shane, let's
2 minutes is about it.
Let's get to the science of it. Young men spend an average of 2 hours a week viewing pornography on the internet, a survey found. 1 in 4 men fear that they are watching too much X-rated content online.
Mm.
In contrast, young women aged between 18 and 24 watched an average of just 15 minutes of adult material each week.
Really?
I'm kind of surprised by that number. I guess I don't really necessarily see the ladies as enjoying the kind of detachment of an online porn as much. I don't know. That number seems high to me.
The virtual dong.
What I'm saying,
the virtual dong.
1 in 3 light users who spent less than an hour of a week viewing porn said that they had missed a deadline or appointment as a result.
That is insane to me.
But this figure rose to 4 out of 5 among the 4% who were heavy users watching more than 10 hours a week.
10 Ouch. Hours a week?
So let me get this right. 4 out of 5.
Start crunching some numbers.
So for people who watch 10 hours a week of porn online, 4 out of 5 have missed a deadline because of it.
Wow. So how many hours of porn is that? That's
10 hours a week.
10 hours a week. 4 out of 5 of them watch 10 hours a week. You carry the one. That's 40 hours a week for these 4 people, at least. Right?
Yes.
Am I right?
I'm not sure if those have any bearing on the discussion.
I'd just say it's a lot of porn. That's what I'm getting to.
There's a lot of porn out there to watch, Shane. If you're going to watch it all, you need to put in some serious hours.
Yes, exactly.
The poll of more than 1,000 people aged 18 to 24 by BBC Radio 1 Newsbeat found that 1 in 4 men feared they were watching too much. It also showed that 1 in 4 men was concerned about the type of images they were viewing.
Mm.
Followed up on the next page. Oh, we've got a lady.
That's for you, Jared, a special lady. Because we're doing this on paper.
1 in 3 young adults who were light users felt their use of pornography had upset a partner or caused relationship problems, rising to 7 out of 10 of those who watched more than 10 hours.
Has your porn habit ever had an impact in any of your relationships, Jared?
No.
Never once?
No.
Look me in the eye.
No.
All right. All right.
Honestly, given the choice between porn and an actual human being, I'm going to go with the human being. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, porn.
You didn't ask me, and you shouldn't ask me. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. I don't ask those probing questions. I'd leave that up to you, Shane. You're much better at it.
Yeah, I'm very good. I got to look you in the eye like a man and see if you're telling me the truth.
I got one more statistics for you here. And okay. 1 in 4 said viewing pornography made them less interested in sex with a partner, rising to 3 out of 5 heavy for users.
Wow. I could imagine that. You know, sort of stunts the growth, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess. If you're heavily invested in porn.
Maybe they don't have partners. Maybe they're watching that much because they don't have partners.
Well, that's probably the obvious explanation.
Yeah, I think that's the direction I'm going to go on that.
All right.
Well, there we go.
That is your news, Shane.
I wish Adam was here because I'd ask him all sorts of pornography questions. But instead, I had to get boring Jared.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're not. News over, Jared.
Yep.
Coming next.
What?
Review.
I like how you made it singular.
Yes, it's review. It's like, are you virgin? So today's review is for Dave Grohl's Nirvana side project, the Foo Fighters.
Side project.
Or Foo Fighters. It's a side project.
Yeah, right.
The album, Wasting Light, is their 7th outing since 1994. Grohl describes it as their heaviest album yet, but it still contains a number of the anthemic tunes Foo Fighters are known for. I looked that word up because I wanted to make sure I would get it right. So, Jared, let's take a listen
anthemic,
to... Let's take a listen to one such song off the album. Of course, I'm talking about Rope. The first single. Yep. Hit it. This indecision has got me climbing up a wall. Reaching in gravity and waiting on the fall. How the lips got mold in me. Thought I was above it all. I hope it's gonna
Gotta have the song here, too.
Yes. I want to get to the chorus here, brother.
Right on.
And that part. It's a great song.
It's worth the trip.
I know. Super by the way, that that song, I think, is unofficially confirmed to be coming out in Rock Band. So if we have a big party, you can do that. You can drum it on Pro Drums.
How about, fucking drum solo is
how
killer.
How about that?
Although the one they do live is even more intricate.
Too. Yes, it's pretty awesome. So Jared, super producer and garbage drummer Butch Vig produced this album in Grohl's garage using tape, no computers. Some of you might remember Vig also worked with Dave on a little album we like to call Nevermind.
I've never heard of that.
So he's got the little street cred. But if that weren't enough, Foo Fighters also called in Bob Mould and Christ Novoselic to chip in as well. So he's reuniting the band, so to speak. Our last clip off the Wasting Light album is the track These Days. And I'm just going out on a limb right now and saying this will be a giant alternative music hit. So okay. Play it. Give me stereo. Should always be that way. But it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. Said it's all right. Easy for you to say. Your heart has never been broken. Your pride has never been stolen. Not yet, not yet. Wasting Light was released with massive Foo promotion, including a documentary film chronicling the making of the album, as well as covering the history of the band. They also are involved in a promotion where winners from a bunch of locations across the country can have the Foo Fighters play in their garage. And some of the first footage from, or the footage from the first concert that they did in a garage in New Jersey looked absolutely awesome, and it would be like a dream come true for a band to do something like that.
Oh, yeah.
The overall professional reviews have been positive, with a Metacritic score around 78 right now. You can pick up this album wherever fine products are sold, either in a brick-and-mortar store or online.
Preferably by clicking on the Amazon.com link on the Scope Show.
If you love it, support us. By supporting Foo Fighters, not the Foo
Fighters.
You
went all around.
Thank you very much. So Jared, why don't you tell me what you think of Foo Fighters? You saw them in concert
when they first
were out, man.
Well, I think it was for The Color and the Shape, but yeah.
Which, arguably, their best album ever. So you've got a long history with these guys.
I do.
Tell me about this album, Wasting Light.
You know, this was an interesting one for me because it's sort of transformed as I listened to it multiple times. The first time through, I had my typical reaction to often the Foo Fighter albums, but also other bands too, in that there's the hit single, which I've heard and I like, and then there's a bunch of other songs that I'm not quite sure amount to anything. I'm not sure if I really like them. They're kind of there. They're not bad.
What do you make of them? That's what you're thinking.
But the more I listened to it, the more individual songs started sticking out, and the more I really, really got into this album. We talked a little bit before the show, and I think I said that I had listened to this album probably a couple dozen times now, and this is absolutely true.
You're not lying to me.
And I said this about the Strokes, but I'm going to say it about the Foo Fighters. This is another album which is you know, there haven't been a lot of these lately where I will listen to the album from beginning to end and enjoy it as one solid piece of musical entertainment.
Look at me in the eye, Jared. Yes. I want to see if you're saying you listened to this over 24 times.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'm looking. Okay, I buy it.
Wow, there's a lot of stress testing today.
I buy what you're selling.
So a lot of critics have said that this is their best collection of songs on an album since The Color and Shape, and I absolutely agree with that. I've since gone back and listened to the entire back catalog that I have, you know, kind of from the beginning in sequence.
How have you had time to get anything done, Jared?
I mean, you work. So I, you know, the first album's really cool because it is, you know, it's like, hey, this is Dave doing his thing. Second, obviously, The Color and Shape, great album from beginning to end, in my opinion.
Yeah, might be. I think it's their best album. I really do.
Albums in between that and Wasting Light, this new one, fall into that category of there's two songs, maybe three songs that stand out, and the rest are like, yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Actually, I hadn't listened to In Your Honor in a long time, and I listened to it yesterday at work, and I'm like, God, there's like only one song in here that is really, really a go-to song for me. But
some clunkers on that one.
Echoes, Patience, Silence, and Grace. Or I don't know if I got the words in the right order though. Their penultimate album to this one was kind of a return back. It has a couple of good songs in it. Again, it still has some filler stuff, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But this song, just from beginning to end, I love it. I love the sound of it. I love Bridge Burning or Burning Bridge, or whatever the first song is, and Rope, just a great 1-2 punch. I was a little hesitant on Hey Rosemary or whatever the second song is, but really got into it now, especially the Bob Mould stuff. And having watched the documentary, maybe that has influenced my appreciation of this album, kind of just, you know, having a good picture of the history of the band and how they got to where this album could happen. I don't know. It really, really stuck with me. Plus, I've also seen them perform it in two scenarios now, beginning to end, the whole album. And it just, I don't know, it works for me. So I saw them do their live at Letterman performance.
Greatest American band right now, Jared?
I'm not going to say that. Top five, probably.
Sure.
And I also saw them, they posted it on their website, but it's on YouTube. It's just them in their studio performing the album end to end. And it's just, it's really cool. I really appreciate that a band could do that and really sell it. And for the album, just sticks with me. I like. I won't say I love every song on it, but I like every
White
song.
White Limo.
On
do
it.
You like that song?
I do.
Do you?
But I like. You know, this is someone who enjoyed Nirvana's Bleach and sure. some of that hardcore punk stuff. So
let me ask you this: some critics out there say Dave Grohl is phoning it in. He's relying on, you know, pop techniques or rock pop techniques that have been done a million times before, and he's not bringing anything new to the table on this one.
You know what, if you're too burned out on popular music that you can't appreciate a well-crafted pop song, even if it is using an established techniques, then I don't really know you. I guess it's he,
that was me that said it.
He's
sorry.
True to himself. He's always written songs this way. I think that maybe he does fall into a certain form and convention for himself. I mean, he does tend to start a lot of songs with kind of a solo guitar, refrain.
What you're saying is that
it works for me.
For Foo Fighters to be popular, they don't have to change their sound to sound like Fleet Foxes or who else would be out there? I don't know.
Your Iron and Wine, Your Mumford and Sons.
Your Mumford, there you go, Mumford and Sons. But there's nothing wrong with that,
right?
But, you mean with the Foo Fighters, you kind of know what you're going
to
get, right?
I think there's a consistency to their work. I mean, having gone back and listened to their back catalog, there's a sound that is consistent throughout, and it definitely, you can hear a song and you know it's a Foo Fighters song, and there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. So there you go. Loving this album. I'll talk briefly on the production. It sounds good. I mean, a lot has been made about them having recorded it in the garage, which is a bit of a kind of a
misnomer.
I don't know if it's a misnomer, but
a stretch.
The five of them weren't sitting around in the garage banging these songs out.
Yeah, with like a glass between them or whatever. You know, your guy would be up in another room doing the bass.
So,
you know?
So you're getting some of the acoustics of a garage space, and you kind of hear that in that there's a... The reverbs are tighter. There's not as much space around things like there would be in a big studio. But essentially, you've got the drums that were recorded in the garage. I don't even know if they did everything together. So really the only one who was physically in a garage would have been Taylor playing the drums. Everyone else, I would imagine their guitar cabinets were in the garage and mic'd up, but they were in the control room, where whatever room was close to it.
Doing
it
their
upstairs
guitars
or something. And this is pretty typical for studio stuff. You guitarist would be in the studio hearing the playback from the studio monitors, while maybe their head unit for their amp stack is in there so they can make tone adjustments, but then that gets run out to their cabinet, which is in the live room.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty standard stuff. So, you know, it's not like, you know, a bunch of kids off the street were making a record in mom's garage. It doesn't have that vibe and that feel to it.
So there's nothing particularly gritty or earthy about the production values.
It's fun, and I think the fact that they could record it at his house and relax and go swimming and stuff like that definitely gives the album a certain feel to it in the playing and the compositions. But it also doesn't hurt that you have Butch Vig producing. You're still gonna have that quality high-end production to it when Butch Vig is involved.
So
if you're looking for something that's going to be like a Strokes first album that really has a little more of a garagey sound to it, and then that's in air quotes, this is not it. This still has the, obviously if you listen to the clips you'll hear it has the big guitars, big drums, the Foo Fighters sound. So
I think when you look at a Foo Fighters album, there's three different types of songs. You know, you've got your slow whatever, your slow rock song. You've got your anthem rock song,
introspective.
You've got your speedy. You know, maybe more punk.
Sure.
I mean, that's really what they do.
Yep.
And so the question is, where's the balance, and can they be successful with all three of those types of songs? And I think on this album, for the most part, they were successful. There's a number of songs on here that could be radio hits. You know, the two that we've played, I think that Back and Forth and Walk are all, you know, in the pocket for them. I mean,
Walk is one of the best album closing songs I've heard.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
a
it's
long
like
time.
That, like that could be a number. That could be a number two position on an album for Pete's sake.
Sequencing was a good. They made good choices on this, because I think that the song before Walk, I Should Have Known, is very, very dramatic and very, you know, bombastic, and that's, you know, you got Chris Novoselic on there playing, doubling the bass, and it's got this really huge sound, and it kind of gives you an emotional reaction. And then they kind of pull out Walk, which is more uplifting, and it feels like, you know, like we've had the climax, and now here we're going to have a little bit of release.
That's what she
gonna
said.
Bring you up a little bit.
10 hours of porn
a day. Sorry to interrupt you. I just had to say that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Great song.
And I do think overall that they hit more than they miss. I mean, I'm not in love with every song on the album. I think I could chop off about four songs, and then you'd have your perfect Foo Fighters album. But without question, a marked improvement over some of their previous outings. And I'm with you. If you can't appreciate a good, solid pop song or pop rock song, then I think that you're a little jaded. And let me point out one more thing before we give this a score. And it comes up all the time in every single interview you have with the Foo Fighters or review. Make no mistake, every reviewer thinks that one song or a bunch of songs on a Foo Fighters album is always inspired by Nirvana. That Dave is always thinking about Kurt Cobain or his time there. And I don't buy that. I don't believe that's true. I think that's people.
How many years are we removed from that now?
Yeah, I think that every once in a while, sure it does. But you know, people think like My Hero or something like that. My Hero is about Kurt Cobain. It isn't about Kurt Cobain. He said it's not Kurt or Everlong. That's not about Kurt Cobain. And I think that there may have been. I think that Dave did allude to the fact that there may be a song on this album that could, you know, be a little more inspired by that, especially with two of his former bandmates in there. But keep in mind, Foo Fighters is not, they're not stuck on the Nirvana days. That is a part of his history, but I think that they look forward more than they look back.
I agree.
So there we go. Let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 3 1/4 stars.
If Adam were here, it'd be down to a half a star, because he has a lot of power, and I guarantee that Adam is a snob that probably does not like a good crafted pop song.
Did he ever give you any feedback on the album?
He said he just didn't get enough chance to listen to it, so
which tells me he didn't really like it.
He abstained. He abstained.
Fair enough.
Too busy listening to Mumford & Sons.
I don't think he's a Mumford & Sons guy.
I do like saying Mumford & Sons. So guess what, Jared? We've got one final aspect of Under the Scope.
Right.
We like to call it Coming Soon. and I will be taking over Adam's role in this particular segment of the show. So get ready, everybody. Pretty exciting.
Sweet.
Coming April 26th for music, we've got a handful of releases. Airborne Toxic Event with their album All at Once. They've been getting a lot of play on some of the adult alternative radio stations around here. A band that Jared liked in his youth, Of Montreal, has got another...
I don't know if I ever actually enjoyed that.
I thought you have you had one Of Montreal.
Maybe
I had an Of Montreal.
I think you, that was, sounds more like you.
Okay, that does, because I'm very into Canadians. Emmylou Harris has got another album coming out called Hard Bargain. And then an album Jared I know will be pre-ordering, or already has pre-ordered. It's from Wonder Woman's Linda Carter, called Crazy Little Things.
What the fuck?
She has got an album of tunes that she will be singing.
Was it cover tunes, originals? What is it, Shane?
Jared, I figured...
Shane, this demands more insight.
I figured you would know this. You're telling me you don't know? You're telling me you don't know about this album?
I was not aware that Linda Carter had a singing career.
Look me in the eyes right now and tell me. You're not aware of this?
I am not aware of it.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, Jared. This one, there's a different twinkle in your eye. May 3rd brings us another handful of terrific collections.
Yes.
Speaking of alternative hipster bands, we've got Fleet Foxes.
Never liked them.
We've got Architecture in Helsinki, a band that I think we've talked about their name on the show, but I don't know if I've ever really... I'm not really that familiar with their
music.
Shane,
you've got to get to the most important release on this
date. Calm down, sir.
Go ahead.
We've got Colby Calais with All of You.
I love me a good Colby.
And finally...
I'm talking about Jesus.
We've got a long-awaited release. I don't know how long it's been. 5, 6, 7 years. The Beastie Boys are back with a band, with an album called Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
I think it's interesting how this was originally Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, but somehow it's Part 2 without Part 1 ever having been released.
And if you haven't seen the video for their first album, or the first song off the album, which is called... What, Jared? Do you know?
Make Some Noise.
Make Some Noise. It's... Would you say this is sort of a bit of an old-school sound for them, or is it not really?
Yeah, it goes. I think it harkens back to the Check Your Head, Ill Communication days. Definitely,
that video could be one of the best music videos I've ever
seen. I need to do the long form one is out there. I need to watch it. I have it a tab open on my computer for a couple of days.
Well, how long is the long form?
30 minutes.
Oh, I haven't seen.
I think
that.
It picks up where the actual video leaves or ends.
Oh,
up.
Like a battle.
Like, yeah, there's like a whole big thing there.
Okay, I got to watch that for sure. So summer movie season. You'd like to think starts April 29th, but it doesn't.
What?
It
but
doesn't.
That's when Fast Five comes out.
Yeah,
Shane.
We got Fast Five, which I guess would be the... We haven't even talked about that. That could be one of the worst movies.
I was on my list until I realized it wasn't April. I'm like, no.
Not too.
Hey, Shane, don't let them near any cars. There's cars everywhere, by
don't
the way.
Don't let me near that movie. That's what I'm going to say. We've got 13 Assassins. We've got Prom, which is a Disney type of film starring the...
Doesn't matter. Move on.
She's from... the gal from Friday Night Lights, Julie.
And we've, oh, yeah. Amy Teagart.
And we've got... Yeah. Yep. And we've got Hoodwinked 2, Hood versus Evil. Double play on words. It's an animated film that sort of takes the Shrek approach where they animate fairy tales and kind of bring them into the world.
Oh, right, because Hollywood's out of stories.
Yeah, it's terrible. May 6th, I would say, is the kickoff of summer movie season,
yes.
And that is Thor. We will be seeing Thor that day, or the next day.
Probably the next day.
Something Borrowed, starring Jennifer Goodwin and Kate Hudson, and then, what's his name, Jim Kravnarlowski or whatever from The Office plays a character in it as well.
That was a unique pronunciation.
Thank you.
I'm not saying I could correct it. I'm just saying that's unique.
Jim from The Office. That's what I'm saying.
Jim K. Although Jim K would be better known for other things. So
he would be.
Anyway, go ahead.
DVDs, yeah. You know, DVDs are tough because not a lot of releases anymore because people aren't buying DVDs. But April 26th has a couple interesting things.
They're just not putting them out anymore.
Nope, they're done. They're done with it. We've got the sci-fi movie, I think, Dino Shark. Half dinosaur, half octopus. I don't know why they called it a shark.
That's really odd.
Larry Sanders Show Season 3 and South Park Season 14. I probably haven't watched since Season 6 would be my guess, which I hear I'm missing out.
Yeah, I hear so much good stuff. I just can't get to it.
May 3rd stars The Dilemma. I forget who's in that, but it's people we've heard of.
This is familiar for some reason. What's it about? Any idea?
I don't remember. According to Jim, Season 3, one of your favorites, and Seth Rogen's The Green Hornet.
Yeah, some people liked it.
Some people did like it. Video games, a little quiet as well, but we got a few things. We've got Castlevania Lord of Shadows Resurrection for the 360 and PS3. Jurassic Park the Game, which is done by, is it Traveler's Tales? They do sort of like point-and-click stuff for Mac and PC. They did the Back to the Future game. They've done a bunch of stuff.
The Traveler's Tales does the Lego games.
No, I'm totally confused. Who is it? Oh, son of a bitch. It's a company that does all these point-and-click sort of puzzle games for PC and stuff. So what are you going to do? Week of May 1st brings us the video game adaptation of Thor. We've got MotorStorm Apocalypse for the PS3. And something I might be interested in, even though it's a gigantic ripoff, $15 for the Call of Duty Resurrection map pack, coming out exclusively for a short period for the 360.
You're all over that.
So there you go. Been playing a lot of Call of Duty. Can't stop till you get enough, and I cannot get enough.
Call of Duty to you is Minecraft to me.
I think there's some very relevant parallels to be drawn between those two games.
Indeed.
Jared, that's it.
Yeah.
Coming soon. Over.
Under the scope.
And here we go, Jared. The end of the show.
The end of
you
the show
and me.
At last. Just about to hit the 90-minute mark, so...
We're making good time.
Not too much longer, folks, and we'll be done. I only have one comment this week. It is from Bishop, longtime fan of the show. He says, Thanks a fuck of a lot, fellas.
Wow.
How the hell am I going to get my brain to not say Lituche every time I see lettuce now? Well played, you fiendish word burglars.
I don't even know if I ever saw that.
it came up to the show, yeah.
Nice. No, I mean, that email. That's news to me.
Yeah, it was on a comment on the show, on the website. We have a website, Shane.
I didn't go there.
Yeah. I just want to say thanks for the comic there, Bishop, and I want to wish you happy poutine hunting in Montreal. I hope you have some, and tell me how delicious it is, because I am so jealous of those who get to experience poutine. You know what poutine is, right?
Yes, I do. It's that brown gravy-covered French fries with cheese in it.
Oh, God, it sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you can get it locally here. I need to source that out and get to it. Anyway, if you have any poutine-eating adventures, you can email them to us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line, preferably not with a mouthful of poutine. 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Program that into your mobile phone chain so when important things happen, you can dial us right up and give us a comment. We're also on Facebook and the Twitters. It is facebook.com/thescope and twitter.com/thescopeshow.
Yes.
Do not get them confused. You will not be in the right place. Yeah.
Is that it? So we did get I'm going to give a close circuit out. I think it's Mike who asked us about if we're watching The Killing.
Yes.
And I have it on my my TiVo. I have not started watching it. I'm hoping to get to it this summer. But if he would like to review the program for us, we've got the voicemail line. I'm giving you an open invitation to call up, tell us what you think about it. And you could review every episode if you wanted to. We would definitely
call
put that
us up,
in the show.
Or if you have the means to record a better quality audio segment. Yeah. By all means, send us on MP3, and we'll try to work it into the show. Yeah, I agree. I don't get AMC with my cable package, so for AMC programs, I need to involve surreptitious means.
Yeah.
The Killing is something that I've been meaning to get to, and will do. But, unfortunately, all of my free time will now be occupied by watching Doctor Who. Okay, maybe not all my free time. But Doctor Who, by the time you have listened to this episode, will have the new season will have premiered. As of this taping, it is premiering tonight, Shane. And since I do not get BBC America with my cable package,
you're in trouble.
I will also be employing those previously mentioned means to acquire the new episode of Doctor Who.
Fair enough.
I am so excited, Shane.
A lot of people are talking about it.
I know you don't care about the show. You don't.
I've
watch
never
it.
Seen an episode of
I
Doctor Who.
I don't know if it would be for you or not, but
why?
For those of us,
I'm too dumb.
No.
I'm too busy watching Dancing with the Stars.
I'm not sure how you feel about very British stuff.
Oh, I hate those damn British. Their teeth.
Yes.
This whole wedding thing is just making me want to vomit. Or vomit.
Fair enough. But I'm excited for the premiere of the new Doctor Who season, and there you go. I'm going to watch that.
Okay.
I probably don't know when I'm going to get to it, but I will definitely be downloading it as soon as it's available.
Very nice. So why don't you do your plugs, and let's shut this son of a bitch off.
Right. One final plug. My band, Possible Oscar, appearing at PenguaCon in Troy, Michigan. This is the weekend of April 29th through May 1st.
Yep.
We are performing Saturday, April 30th. Wherever the music room is, I don't know what that is. We are on at 4 p.m. And that's Eastern Time. Doesn't matter, though, because hopefully you will have recalibrated your timepiece for the time zone of PenguinCon if you are there.
And if all of our Scope fans do not show up to this, you are dead to us. So show up.
Wow. So if you're going to be at PenguinCon, hopefully you stop by. We'll have also our new CD will be available in the dealer's room along with our past CDs. So please purchase merchandise to support our trip.
Leave your plugging to the Possible Oscar podcast. Enough of this.
And this has a bigger reach. I have a larger mouthpiece here.
Oh, look.
Plus, there's nothing stopping me from editing in another plug at the end of the show.
Look me in the eye and tell me this is a bigger podcast, because I don't believe it.
This definitely gets more listens than, or at least more downloads than the Possible Oscar
podcast.
Okay. Speaking of which, I have an episode of that I have to release and have been meaning to for about 3 weeks.
Wow, you need to get to it.
Anyway, there you go.
That's my
plug. And we'll have probably another show, maybe two shows to announce coming up soon, but nothing to say right now.
Very exciting. Well, Jared, I want to thank you for really pulling double duty today.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
You did a lot of work. You took over a lot of Adam's responsibilities, as did I. I think we did a great job.
Well, you know, making love to his girlfriend was tough work.
Yeah,
but
I know. I kid. I know. You kid because you love. So episode 107, I would say, officially is in the can. We'll be back next time. Episode 108, and hopefully a little Thor talk. It's summer movie season.
Thor talk. We'll talk to you then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, hasta la vista. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.